Oh, has anybody ever had a near-death experience?
Oh,
Ooh.
anytime I talk back to my mother.
Yes, you're going to say exactly that when I ask the
An
question.
actual near-death experience or a, like,
Sure. I had one, but I don't remember it very well.
That's often how those end
It's not a
up.
great sign, but yeah, means we're pretty close.
This is a could potentially a really
Well,
intense
no, it was
question.
because I was really little. I had like tried to open a pack of crackers with my teeth when I was 3 years old.
And you
And I
almost
choked on
died.
the crackers.
Wow.
But I was at a convention of firemen, so everyone there knew the Heimlich maneuver. So
It's so people lining up to give you that. I'm like,
yeah, like literally, it was a room full of EMT and firefighters. I was fine.
I had a gun pulled on me last week. Does that count? I
You what?
had a gun pulled on me last week because somebody.
Yeah, that
What?
counts.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh my
What?
it's a casual occurrence in Texas. It's not the first time, but some dumbass was turning out of a parking lot and took like way too long, and I was like, "What are you fucking doing? There's like nobody there." So then I like did a little beep beep, and then they went on the road, and then I went zoom around them and went one light. They were right behind me, didn't do anything. Two lights later, they like pull out a gun and they're like, "What are you doing, mom?" Like, wait, start yelling at me, and I was like, "What took you so fucking long? Like, what are you doing? You had two lights back there. You could have threatened me, but now you're gonna do it right before you turn." Little penis maneuver right there. It's okay. Not the best way to talk to somebody who's just pulling a gun on you, but
Every part of
Oh
that
my
story is insane to me.
the
God.
car
Oh
was falling
my
apart, and I was like, "This is why, motherfucker, because you can't drive."
God.
So bad.
Hello and welcome to Saving People Queering Things, the Supernatural podcast where Freddy Krueger lost his medical license. Today we're pulling up to season 6, 11th episode, Appointment in Samara. I am your host, Elena, pronouns are she, they.
I'm August, my pronouns are they, them.
I'm Noah, my pronouns are he, him.
And I'm Sam, my pronouns are she, they.
And my question that I have today for my co-host is, if you got the chance from death to put on the ring for 24 hours, would you do so?
Absolutely fucking no.
Yeah, but what's the,
You wouldn't
like,
want to be
what's
dead
the
for a
deal?
day?
Is it just to
No.
try it? Or is there, like, do we get
There's,
something?
I don't know, some, like, your heart's desire
Yeah.
is the prize or something. I don't know.
Y'all learn nothing from this episode?
I think I absolutely would because I did learn something from this episode and I know it's going to be
Yeah,
heartbreaking and I know I can just push it out, kill the kid. I'm sorry, but like we gotta. It's worse if you don't.
I remember when I first watched this episode and being like, but they never killed the kid on Supernatural. They never killed the kid. They never killed the kid. And
They kill the kid.
I'm
I
pretty sure we've
feel
seen kids get
like,
tortured on this show, so I think
yeah,
they
but
do kill the kid.
that's true. They don't very
They
often.
artfully dodge the murder of children quite frequently.
Yeah.
And
that's
fair, this one
one.
isn't like a murder so
Yeah.
much as
It's
it's just
so
like a
sad,
death.
though. It's
It
very
is.
tragic.
It's
It feels
worse.
like murder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially by the end of it
Yeah.
because he gives them such false hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah. So we've
But
got three no's and a yes. Elena, wait, what
I
did
think
would
I
you?
might.
Okay.
I'm on the fence. It would depend on what the stakes are.
Yeah, I agree. It would depend on the stakes. I wouldn't do it for
Yeah, but absolutely
funsies, but
fucking
just
not.
cuz I'm not doing anything this weekend. Let's pop on the
Curiosity.
ring.
But if, like, if doing so would, like, cure cancer forever, like,
Yeah,
sure.
exactly. That's a
I'll kill
different.
a couple
That's
people for 24 hours if it means we can ensure that no one ever has to suffer again. Like, so it depends on the circumstances.
okay, fair enough.
very reasoned answer.
Yeah, so now that you've met your host for today, it is time to catch you up. If you have not watched Supernatural recently, here is what you've missed on the road so far. So first up, Sam is going to recap the show up to this point so far. Sam, how you feeling? Are you ready?
How you feeling and are you ready?
All of a
Feel like two
sudden,
different
have
questions.
forgotten everything that I know.
But those are the best ones, honestly.
Whenever we get feral and just run with it, that's when we get the best recaps. So.
Okay.
All right, I'll count you in.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so there are these two brothers and they really love each other, but they had a messed up childhood because their dad is an asshole and they have to fight monsters because they were born into it and it kind of sucks, but they're pretty good at it and lots of shit happens.
What else happens?
Lots of shit happens. There's lots of emotions. And then an angel shows up and it gets really gay.
Perfect. Beautiful. Honestly, such a well done recap.
I do love that you hand waved over the entire plot by being like, a lot of shit happens.
Yeah. I mean, they're not wrong. Like,
nope. They're not wrong.
A lot of shit does happen.
Maybe too much.
Hmm.
Well, speaking of all that shit that happens, hey, Noah, you want to recap this week's episode for us?
I'm ready.
All right, I will count you in. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, Dean goes to visit an old friend of John's and makes a deal with Death. If Dean can do Death's job for 24 hours, Death will return Sam's soul and give him a mental block to protect it. Dean tries to make it work while Sam tries to deal with Balthazar to remain soulless forever by killing Bobby. No chance. Dean gets back in the nick of time, and even though he tried to spare a 12-year-old, Death counts him victorious and brings Sam's soul back.
With 6 seconds to spare on the clock. That was magnificent.
Thank you. I tried.
I have no notes regarding anyone's recaps today. This is just beautiful. Now it is time for us to pick some music to accompany us on our journey. Here is what we have this week for our episode mixtape. Noah, you want to kick us off?
I'd love to. My first option today was Get My Soul Back by John Bellion, but that's on his unreleased album, so I can't use that one. But ooh. I went with...
And how do you know it if it's unreleased?
Because I'm a badass John Bellion fan. I gotta have a... If anybody wants that, hit me up. We got a drive with a lot of unreleased songs on it, but that's neither here nor there. So I really went with All I Have Is My Smile by Lil Dusty G, a little Texan native, well, sort of. But the chorus goes, by this time next week, I'll be smiling cheek to cheek, or I'll be face down in that creek. It's up to you. It's up to me.
Ooh.
Sort of about victimizing yourself in the face of insurmountable odds with a maybe toxic relationship. It's kind of up to you to make the most of a rough place, and kind of exactly where Dean's at this episode.
Yeah, that is a good
night.
And it's a nice little short bop. It's been stuck in my head ever since I found it. So go check it out.
We love that.
Sam, what about you?
My mixtape for this week is Everybody Dies by Billie Eilish, which just kind of felt fitting for this one. And there's the couple lines that stuck out to me where it's not so wrong to wonder why everybody dies. You ought to know, even when it's time, you might not want to go, but it's okay to cry. And I was like, that's... I feel
sad,
like Dean's kind of struggle with being Death.
Damn.
My pick today is Everybody Breaks by Ivan and Alyosha. Kind of about everyone having a breaking point. It's got this line that goes like, searching for my trouble, but my trouble finds me. And I thought that like really kind of sums up where everyone's kind of at too. Like Bobby and Dean and Sam and Cass and like where they're all at right now is kind of at figuring out where their breaking point is. It's really haunting sort of song.
Taking a lot of angst this episode.
Oh yeah.
Love it.
My song keeps right in with that, all of the angst. It's a song called Shatter by Code Orange. This is actually a song, it's was the entrance music for a WWE superstar who actually passed away last year.
Oh.
His name was Bray Wyatt. He was like 36 and he was like the dopest guy on the planet. And I encourage listeners to look into him and his life because he was the coolest. But his theme song was fucking badass. And it is very, very on brand for this episode. Like some of the first lyrics are, you can throw it all away when things break, things shatter, keep it written on your face. The little details matter. And literally one of the lines in the chorus is, die for me, brother. Love one another, lie for me, brother, use me for cover. It's really like,
that's like for the Sam Bobby sort of like situation, really hits.
Ooh. Yeah, I as soon as I like saw it on my playlist, I was like, wait a minute, this is like actually the perfect song for this episode. Now that we've got our mixtape playing, it is time for this week's hunt. And today we are exploring episode 611, Appointment in Samara, through the theme of eternity.
But before we get started, I want to give a few content warnings for this episode. So content discussed in this episode may include hell trauma, mental health, confinement, death, hospitals, illnesses, accidents, and gun violence. If any of that is something that may be difficult for you to hear, please take care of yourself as you listen to this episode or rejoin us another time.
I would also formally apologize for throwing in a child death joke before the content warning. My bad. I apologize. Truly.
That's entirely entirely fair.
Yeah. This, I mean, the Supernatural never gives us a small list of content warnings, but this is a long list of content warnings. Yeah. This is a heavy episode. We will do our best to talk about it sensitively, but it is also a silly little show. So here's your warning.
It's a silly little show with silly little trauma.
On to the episode.
For listeners who couldn't see, I just gave a cheesy thumbs up.
Okay, this episode was baller, though. This episode was so good.
Yes.
It's my favorite episode of season 6 so far.
Very much enjoyed it.
This rewatch.
Yeah, this episode holds the most special place in my heart because it was when I first got into Supernatural, this was the episode that they were released up to. And so I binge watched through to this episode. And then the first one that I watched live as it was on was episode 612. Ooh. So I remember getting to this one and being like, oh my gosh, I'm just binge watching this whole show. It's so amazing. And now I have to wait. This is terrible.
That's a great cliffhanger to leave it on.
So yeah. Starting next week, you get to give us your memory of live reactions things. I still have a season or two before I can do that. So I'm excited for you.
Oh man. The one that I'm most hyped for is in a couple weeks when we get to talk about French Mistake. Being online the night that the French Mistake aired was a treasure. And it just, that's season 6, I think, even though I'm always going on and on about how season 6 and 7 are the worst. I feel like season 6 gets a bit of a pass with me because it was the first season that I got to watch live. And so I'm just has that moment. Foundation. But I remember seeing this episode and just being what in the Lord's name is happening.
Anytime we get Death back on the screen, it's a good time.
Okay, Death is just king shit all over this episode. Nothing lasts forever. Well, I do.
Except for me.
That was literally the line I was just about to mention. Especially since the episode's theme this week is eternity. That was when that line came up, I was like, oh, this is too good.
Because Death is the oldest character that we've seen on the show ever, right? And the only one that's been immortal. Above death. He can't be killed because he is death.
Death, yeah. We have not.
We've also talked about this before on the show, but I feel like it always warrants mentioning that Death is the only character in this entire series that Dean is afraid of. When he has that little thing where he's just you're really, I forget exactly what he says, but he's you're really snarky. And Dean just kind of gets this look of oh dear God, I'm so sorry.
And yet he still sasses him over and over again in this episode. So much that.
It's Dean. Yeah.
I did take note of that though. After Death makes that comment, Dean is whoop.
Yeah.
Doesn't often do.
Yeah. Dean does not look scared very often in this series. And that's one of those moments where he's just oh no.
I'm not going to push this. I know the ultimate. Ultimately, I have to give in to what your rule is. At the end of the episode, this is jumping way ahead, but even at the end of the episode, he's you won. He doesn't try and trick Death into giving Sam's soul back. He knows he has to get it by the terms of the deal.
And the whole time he's I assume you already know this. You already know, you are all knowing. I get it. It's fine. And then whenever he's you brothers cause chaos on a global scale. And he's apologies for that. I'm sorry.
That's one of my favorite details.
Yeah, when does ever just
so good.
You're apologies.
He's gone through quite the journey in this episode.
Okay. But Death, other iconic line. What do you think the soul is? Some pie you can slice?
Of course Dean thinks that the soul is pie. With Dean, no, everything
that's Death.
Is pie.
That Death says that.
Oh, I know. Yeah, but that's he's saying it to Dean.
He's saying it in Dean's. Yeah. Oh, yes. There's also a delightful,
he's speaking Dean's
pizza.
Language.
There's also a delightful, the pizza thing later on. It's just a great callback.
Yeah.
Oh, because the guy Death dies.
Iconic. Okay, the plot of this episode. We have to talk about the plot.
So right off the bat, he goes in and he's talking about to this doctor who is Freddy Krueger, which is pretty dope. And they're talking about some mysterious procedure that they're gonna do, and it's kind of weird, and then it's revealed that he's flatlining, which is wild as fuck, but of course he's gonna do that to talk to Death. That's
and I just love that he's just that was back when I had my medical license.
Also,
another thing is that the doctor says he has a 75% success rate, and then at the end of the episode Death says about 75%. It 75%.
It's a nice little callback.
It's good.
Yeah, they have a lot of good narrative symmetry in this episode. It feels very much it's full of callbacks, full of references. It's very internally consistent.
It's Supernatural doing meta at its best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right off the bat, I was like, don't trust this guy. He's a friend of John's. Like,
I wanted to bring that up is like, what do we think? What medical procedures do we think John went to this guy for? Like, what would he go to for that he wouldn't just go to? I mean, obviously, he doesn't go to hospital for a lot of things, but he also, like, we know John was only going to go to a doctor if dire straits. So, yeah, what is he going to this doctor for?
Something to do with Mary.
I mean, I always just assumed it was like, you know, getting like a bullet dug out of like a part of his back that he can't reach and, you know, things like that.
But I feel like he would still go to Bobby or a hunter for that, you know?
Yeah.
I never considered
it's
it.
Gotta
like
be someone
that.
Who's going to be willing to do riskier things like flatlining.
I think he went for penis enlargement procedures.
Oh my God, Noah.
Because you know John's got a tiny dick. You know it.
I did not think that we're going to end up in conversation today.
I'm so sorry. Oh. I'm sorry. I don't know. It could be anything. I'm not flatlining.
Did he try to go talk to Mary?
That's what I'm wondering.
And then he tried it and he went to hell instead and was like, whoops.
It's like, fuck. Actually,
bring me back.
He's like, oh, no.
Never mind.
Why couldn't John have been in the 25%? Come on.
But it didn't work on.
I'm just trying to think of like what kind of like other injuries he would have had. Because he says like he says stitched up or patched up is the word he uses.
Yeah, he does say stitched up.
So like
probably injuries that would not be easily explainable as like an animal.
Yeah.
Things that would arouse too much suspicion in a hospital.
Yeah.
But like obviously not life-threatening enough because he'd have to
like
get
getting his shoulder mauled by a werewolf. He's probably not going to go to a hospital.
Yeah. Well, busted ribs. Know, because that could look like you were in the woods. You got mauled by an actual wolf. I'm thinking more like things with a bit of a supernatural tinge to them. Like things like you get poisoned by something that's like not a normal poison.
Mm. Well, but would he have supernatural remedies though? Because it seems like he's just a doctor.
What?
Like he's just killing him with like medical equipment. Like he's not
using
magic.
That's true.
But he seems to like...
He definitely knows about the supernatural.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's a good point.
He has a very special set of skills.
Creepy as fuck.
Being creepy as hell, yep.
And like having the sketchiest office.
And yeah. I just love like, again, like I know we already said it, but like the Freddy Krueger thing, just I love it when Supernatural like has cameos from like iconic people of the horror genre. And like that was one that I didn't even really know until a couple years ago. And I was like, holy crap. Like
that's pretty that's dope.
Yeah. He's in Stranger Things because of that too.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't always like Supernatural. Sometimes it's a swing and a miss, you know, like sometimes they kind of try and shoot above their pay grade. But like this is a moment where I'm like, it kind of works. Like it's subtle
he's so
enough.
Weird.
Sometimes
he's weird.
It doesn't work.
It's not a huge role.
Sometimes they get Paris Hilton.
That's exactly what I was thinking of, actually. But I don't know. They don't overplay him. Like they don't make him the focus of the episode.
No.
So I think it's part of why
that's
it works.
That's what makes it a really good one, I think.
He's just there for like really like the setup.
Yeah. And they really jump into it. Like they don't have him introducing himself
to
Dean or anything.
And that's it.
Yeah. I love it.
We don't know anything until suddenly Dean's flatlining.
Dean mentioning Adam to Death was a good sign because they haven't started to forget him yet, which is nice. But I'm thinking that this might be the start of it because he gets Sam's soul back and not Adam. But...
Well, and Death is like, choose.
Yeah, and he says Sam so quickly when given the choice.
Yep, he said choose and he said, Sam. That's it. All I need. An interesting bit of lore that Death drops is that souls can't even be broken by death, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Something out there can be strong enough to break a soul, though. There's got to be. This is Supernatural. They go for 15 seasons. So they got to escalate that power somehow.
Well, and we find out later on in this episode that you can like corrupt your like without a soul you can corrupt yourself so much that a soul can't enter your body.
Yeah,
which is
it's
interesting.
Wild.
Like the soul lore in this episode, yeah, like a soul can be damaged clearly, like it can be flayed to the raw nerve,
which is such a good line.
His delivery, Julian, what's his last name?
I think it's like Richling or something.
Yeah, he's just got incredible like delivery of every line that he does.
For sure.
Thought it was very interesting that Dean stayed dead for 7 minutes because seven is a pretty significant number in biblical lore. Being dead for seven is telling.
Yeah, considered like a perfect number, but it's the number of minutes he stays dead. It's also like twice as much as he was supposed to be dead for. before.
Yeah.
Oops. Oh, I like that. I also love seeing Tessa again. Reapers are such a fun part of mythology.
I love Tessa.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure to see Tessa.
Mm-hmm.
I love her attitude with him.
Yeah. Dean is a bad interruption to her workday. That's how she treats him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he is, though.
Yeah, I know.
No, he very much is. He's messing up it all.
Everything. He is.
The line she has whenever they're first starting on the job, and she says something about, like, right now, I'm not crazy about you either. Which does imply that at some point in the past, she was. And
they had a little thing the first time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some little flirty-flirty back and forth.
Yeah, in 201. Like,
it was funny, though. I kept giggling when I saw her because I just yesterday had been rewatching one of the old blooper reels, and it's the one where, like, that actress, like, had the contacts in, and so she's going to, like, touch Dean's forehead, but because she can't see with the contacts, she, like, puts her hand, like, next to his head, and then he has to move her hand over.
That's beautiful.
It's a very good blooper.
Yeah.
And on the B plot of this episode, I was very stressed about Bobby. I was not.
I wanted to ask about that.
Sam having to go kill Bobby? No.
Also, the whole Sam plot is so interesting because it starts out with him saying, okay, like, I trust you. You're the one with the compass. Like, don't mess it up, but, like, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to, like.
And then he immediately goes to go find the ring.
Like, Corey pops in. Lie detector test determined that was a lie.
Well, he immediately makes the comment, like, is this the part where you pull a gun on me and lock me in the panic room? And Bobby goes, like, do I have to? And Sam's like, no, you don't have to. And Bobby takes that as, like, okay, there's been some, like, change. We're not going to resort to, like, the inhumanity that we did in season 4. Like, we're going to, which also did remind me that, like, Sam's agency being taken away is just such a common theme. Again. But yeah, he immediately goes to Balthazar, which...
How'd you feel seeing him again, Noah?
I loved seeing him again. He's a good little angel guy to be their antagonist for a while. I like that. He's very charming, too.
So
easy on the eyes. But not in this episode. He calls Cass Sam's boyfriend. Okay. Wrong brother there, sir.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so funny because, like, angels and, like, supernatural beings all constantly are, like, being like, what is this about Cass and Dean? And this is one of the first times that they've been like that. It's just funny to hear about Cass and Sam because you're like, those are not the vibe.
Well, no. Because maybe up in heaven, Balthazar and Cass have interacted a few times and Cass mentioned his boyfriend, one of the Winchesters. And so then Balthazar comes down and says, oh, you're a Winchester. Yeah. Maybe that's the one.
Knows well enough. Like, he knows who they are. I don't feel like he's that ignorant.
I'm accepting Noah's theory. Anyway.
I don't think it's ignorance. I think it's just like a decided ignorance. Like,
right. I think he's messing with them. Okay, but Sam is asking for something that can keep a soul out forever.
Forever.
And, like, the thing that's really interesting, like, about Balthazar's answer is, like, he tells him about a spell that can turn your soul uninhabitable or turn your body uninhabitable. Yeah. But he said you need the blood, like, it needs the patricide.
Ugh.
You need the blood of your father, but your father needn't be blood, which is,
such a good
fascinating
line.
I love lore that, like, connects to, like, the bigger theme of supernatural, like, of family not ending in blood,
found family.
Yeah, like, I love when the lore, like, backs that up. I think this is such a good writing choice, like, aside from the practicality of, like, obviously they can't kill John, he's already dead.
Yeah, but it shows that found family is universal and eternal.
Yeah.
To go back to that theme,
like, found family can be so important, it can, like, that hurting them can wreck your soul.
Straight up.
Yeah, like, it's that powerful of a bond.
I love. It's really bad for Bobby.
So bad for Bobby, but...
Because Sam, apparently, it does not take a lot to push Sam. Like, I'm getting mystery spot flashbacks.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, like, what... Like, there seems to be, like, this kind of switch in Sam, where he was like, yes, he's soulless and a dick and not able to feel anything, but, like... I feel like we have seen him get worse and worse and willing to be more extreme with his actions.
I feel like it's as soon as somebody says, like, oh, okay, being violent might be able to cause your solve your problems. He's like, oh, okay, sweet. And goes really hard on the violence. And, like, as soon as he has, like, a bit of direction, he just goes full force without thinking about if it's a good idea or if he should do it. And he definitely shouldn't kill Bobby. Definitely.
It's like Sam violence, full throttle.
Yeah, he's kind of like this robot that is like, goes for, like, the easiest path.
Task-oriented.
It doesn't matter, it doesn't have to have a lot of direction with it. It's just like, this is what you do. this is how you get to where you want to go. And he's like, all right, cool. And he just goes for it. And it's
just immediately
him busting down the door and Bobby being like, no, don't say here's Johnny. Like, come on. Don't be doing that shit. It's good. And Bobby also drops plenty of classic lines this episode. He does the, I may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night.
That's one of my favorite Bobby isms.
My dad says that all the time. So good.
Dad Bobby activated.
Ain't nobody killing me in my house but me.
Also, I wonder if he figures it, like, I wonder, Bobby knows lore. Like, I wonder if he figures out that what, how significant it is, not just like, because Bobby's smart enough to figure out that, like, if it was just like killing anyone, if it was just anyone who needed to die, he wouldn't have killed Bobby. He would have killed some civilian.
Yeah.
Or like bad person or
coming after Bobby. It's got to be for a reason.
Yeah. So I wonder if Bobby figures it out, like that's the significance of the bond. And
he has to know.
He's at the same time.
Kind of a bittersweet moment because he's like, damn, he's finally accepting me as his dad. But also, fuck, he's accepting me as his dad.
But also, it means he's now trying to kill me.
And Bobby has trap doors hidden around his house. Love that shit. So good.
He hasn't told the brothers. Like, Bobby is ready for anyone to turn on him, which is so sad, but also thank God for it.
I also wonder was his house always like that, or did he add that after like the boys grew up and they started being really chaotic, or like after we had this whole experience with Sam and the demon blood.
I want to believe that he built this house from the ground up and just put all of it in there right at the start, you know. Maybe he built it
before his wife died. Like, I don't think he would have any reason to.
But maybe he built this house just after.
I think that we assume that they're based on like the episode where she
comes back.
That's
true. Yeah.
Mm. Maybe he did a lot of renovations that weekend to get his mind off of things.
Knocked out all the walls.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This house has been a full remodel.
It definitely looks like the type of house that he's built extra onto over time.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
That makes sense. But Sam going through the panic room and escaping through the panic room, not a great panic room. Bobby, what?
Yeah, I was a little confused about that. I was like, that seems like a flaw.
This seems like a convenient plot device.
Yeah. And like, I will give it to them. Like, this locking Sam up, the right move this time. I'm like very anti-locking Sam up. Like, I was anti it in season 4.
Yeah.
Even though it was like, or at least anti the way they did it in season 4.
Very much so.
I love that they did it. I love that Sam, like Dean and Bobby seem pretty intent on like honoring, like on, like they really want to convince Sam to get his soul back. But they, I think, sort of also know that they, if Sam doesn't agree, it's going to be really hard to do.
Yeah.
And so they do try and get him to a point where he's willing to. And obviously it's like he's lying to them. But once he starts trying to kill Bobby, I'm like, okay, well, now you can lock him up. Now this seems like self-preservation.
Yeah, just a bit.
Just a smidge.
But to bring it back to Dean and his day on the job, he follows Tessa around. He goes to the armed robbery first. And his first instinct is, oh my God, who am I going to have to take? Is it the kid? Like, I don't want to do that. Like, right off the bat, he's already letting you know that he doesn't want to take the kid.
Yeah.
And then
foreshadowing.
In 20 minutes before this, he's talking with that, the assistant, Freddy Krueger's assistant, and she's all like rude to him or whatever, brushes him off. And he's like, wow, some bedside manner would have been nice. And then he lets this robber just writhe in pain on the floor for like 25 extra seconds and is like, nice. Okay, so where's your bedside manner, Dean?
He's
like, this guy doesn't deserve it.
Your
I feel like
manner.
That's the reason. I feel like that's the reason. Like, he's very much like, is a reminder of like how justice oriented he is as a character.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you're a bad person. You were threatening a child and a shop owner. Actually, you know what? Your death can be painful. And like, regardless of whether or not that's a good thing, it's very inconsistent. It's very consistent with his character.
I think.
Yeah. It's not very ethical, but it's very deep.
Very deep.
Yeah. He's like, this guy's is dying anyway. Like, you know, he tried to armed robbery a place and ended up being the one that got shot. Like, karma's a bitch.
And I'm the bitch.
But at that point, he's like kind of not enjoying being deaf, but he's like, okay.
He's like, I can handle this.
Yeah, as long as it's armed robbers and...
But his everything is dust in the wind moment.
He says,
we have to go back. Okay, we have to go back though to the point where like where Tessa says to him like people might, she's prepping him and she's like people might have questions for Death, and his response is, you mean like how did Betty White outlast me? And I
R.I.P. Betty White.
R.I.P. Betty White.
An icon and a legend.
That reference was out of feeling to me.
But I mean, she still made it to like 99. She still outlasted the majority of people.
I think it was a good, it was a good reference. It was a very Dean sort of like fun Dean moment. Anyway,
Last Supernatural as a show?
Yeah.
I think so. 21.
Yeah, last year.
22? Yeah.
Yeah. Damn. So, yeah, she did.
Ha, suck it, Supernatural.
Yeah.
People might have questions. Like, how did Betty White last? Well, because she's better.
She was built different.
Betty fucking White.
Yeah. Like, but sorry, then, yeah, that she's that iconic.
But then, yeah, then we do get the, like, the heart attack.
But I love that the guy knows that it's a Kansas song.
Yeah.
And he's speaking to the right demographic.
He calls him out. He's not afraid to speak to Death. He's like,
everything is what? Dust in the wind. Which okay. is kind of a conclusion Dean ends up coming to at the end
mm-hmm.
of yeah. like things are gonna be as they're gonna be. Like that kind of, that's what he ends up telling the girl later too, the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting and a little bit ironic, maybe, because Dean is like having to answer to this girl asking why. And he's like, oh, it's just the natural order of things. But like he's literally cheating the natural order of things right then by getting Sam's soul back.
Yeah.
In this way, like he's preaching this thing to this child, but like in reality, he's like doing the opposite.
The only reason he's in this situation is because he like flatlined, which is another form of like
cheating
death. Not the natural order of things.
Yeah.
That's a really good point.
You don't die and then start breathing 7 minutes later. Nope.
Okay. Can I say one of my favorite things in this episode that I was like, oh my, this theory just never quit.
Yeah.
The heart,
yeah.
The Dean's heart is the measure of and like the representation of like his identity and his queerness and his like and his like
yes.
struggle for free will is here again, because two of the first deaths are heart attack, are like heart related. The heart attack and a girl with a heart condition.
Yeah.
Just literary symmetry.
And it's all destiny, right? Because who gives death the list? I don't know. It's just destiny.
And it's like going back to faith. It all comes back to faith. All comes fucking back to faith.
Here we are, season six. We have faith comes reference.
Back. Every that's yeah, that's the Kevin Bacon. Faith is the Kevin Bacon of this show.
Dean doesn't die because a gay man has a heart attack instead in his place. And from then on, Dean keeps being in these situations with people with heart trouble.
Oh, beautiful. This actually, so this isn't related to the heart theory, but it is like a literary sort of like reference that I wanted to mention. The title of the episode.
Yeah.
So I don't know if any of you know like what that like the backstory to it. So I'm pulling this from Wikipedia, but this was one of those episodes where when I watched it, I had to Google it because I was like, why the hell is it called Appointment in Samara? Like that's such a weird title. So it's a story, it was like a novel that was based off of like this old folktale about how nobody can escape death.
Ooh.
And specifically the like there's this, it's a retelling of an ancient Mesopotamian tale which actually has the number 75 in it, which is weird because we were talking about the 75 being the
okay.
But so this is, I'll read it really briefly because it's just, I think, really interesting to compare this to the actual plot of the episode because it means the writers did their fucking homework.
Love it.
Oh, I love when they do.
So it says, a merchant in Baghdad sends his servant to the marketplace for provisions. Soon afterwards, the servant comes home white and trembling and tells him that in the marketplace, he was jostled by a woman whom he recognized as Death, who made a threatening gesture. Borrowing the merchant's horse, the servant flees at great speed to Samara, a distance of about 75 miles where he believes Death will not find him. The merchant then goes to the marketplace and finds Death and asks why she made the gesture to his servant. She replies, that was not a threatening gesture. It was only the start of a surprise. I was astonished to see him here and I have an appointment with him tonight in Samara.
Ooh, okay.
So, you can't cheat Death. You can't run away.
Yeah, it's just this really interesting like retelling. And if you look into it more, there's a lot of other stuff that's like related to it, but I love it when Supernatural, like, because sometimes you have episodes that are like, this isn't, it's a future episode, but it's not really a spoiler. There's an episode called The Spear and it's about a spear that they deal with.
You know, it's a good episode. episode, but like it's not a great title.
Yeah, then you get Bugs, you know, which is about bugs. But then you have episode and titles racism. Like this, which are seemingly completely obscure, but are actually like deeply layered with meaning. And I just think that that's really cool.
Yeah,
I agree. Also makes me also think the whole like you can't cheat death, also and like you can't cheat death slash you can't cheat destiny theme, like also with all of the stuff around like we can rescue Sam's soul and I'll put a wall up but it's not a guarantee, is very much also like we can pull Sam's soul out of hell, out of the cage, but we can't guarantee that he'll be all right. And ultimately like there's kind of this ominous like that wall is not permanent, like you can't run away from,
don't scratch at it,
this. Yeah, also I looked up when you were talking about that, I looked up who wrote this episode, and this episode has the heavyweights.
Oh.
This episode's writers are Kripke, Gamble, and Singer. So like this episode, like Kripke, who is no longer like the showrunner, is still an executive producer and comes as a writer, doesn't write a lot of episodes.
Yeah,
at this
I think
point
this
in
the was
show,
the but... last the last season where he writes anything.
Yeah.
I don't think he writes anything for season 7. And I know he doesn't 8 onward.
Yeah, I'm actually gonna like find that out right now because I'm now very curious. Writer. Oh no, the last episode he writes on it is season 6. It's the end of season 6.
Yeah.
The season 6 finale is the last episode that he like writes.
Yeah.
Okay. There was a moment that I felt could have been... What year did this episode come out? Sorry.
2011.
Okay, and then what
2010.
Okay, perfect. Because I'm pretty sure Sherlock, the TV show, started in 2010, but season 2 was in 2012. So the line where he says, the human soul is not a rubber ball, just really rang to me very particular because of the third episode of season 2 of Sherlock when he jumps off and uses the ball to like... stop his pulse and all that, but it's
the super
not.
Gulak of it all.
I need you to not remind me of my super Gulak era right now.
Well,
don't draw
what?
These parallels. Nice don't draw them.
I didn't think I was, but here we are. No, it was good. I really loved the whole end scene with Death and Dean talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the how heavy it all feels, but here's a bacon dog. I got you. No problem.
I got you a snack.
He's like, the human soul is vulnerable, impermanent, stronger than you know, more valuable than you can imagine. Here, have a snack. It's the contrast.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's giving us a lot of information about souls, and like, it's really interesting. That's something we want to walk away.
Especially the spell that Balthazar talks about. That's going to be useful at some point, because they brought
it
up.
No, no, it's not.
They brought it up and talked about it. Nothing?
Into the lost cannon.
Unfortunately,
jar.
Oh my God. We can pull the lost cannon out for this one piece of lore. There is other lore in this episode that will 100% come back. That one,
there's a lot of important lore, but that bit never again.
They never bring up. Carly, I think because of the whole patricide thing, like it's harder to use that well multiple times.
Fair.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That makes sense.
It's a bit of a one trick pony of a.
But I could see Jimmy Novak using that at some point.
But you can only use it if for someone who does not have a soul. And like Sam is the only character that we
know
have
of
that doesn't have a soul.
Okay, yeah.
Like
true,
losing your soul
true.
Is not like a we've only have this. Like this is our only example of that.
Yeah,
so far.
Yeah, well
we'll get there. We'll get there.
As per usual, we can neither confirm nor deny.
except for that one, the spell.
Yeah, except for that spell, because don't want to get your hope.
Yeah. We can confirm. And
Sam does have his soul back now, though. So, or
is that what was in the bag, or was
like,
that just the block? Like, was that his walls?
I think
that
was actually
like,
just the nightlight.
I think that like what that scene is Death putting in the wall and the soul.
Okay, cool.
I'm assuming it's like a 2-part operation, like wall first, then soul. You got to separate the X section for the soul.
Smart. What's in the box?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that about does it for our main discussion week. As we bring things to a close here, it is now time for our blessings and character to watch segment. So who wants to take it away first on this?
I would like to bless Ben Brayden this episode.
Yes.
He just gets a brief reference. The letter that Dean gives to Kruger says, if I like don't make it, send this letter. And it's addressed to Benjamin Brayden. I think it's really interesting that that's the person Dean's like, that's the person that needs a letter from me. And it's his kid, the kid he's been a father to. And I'm like, that would have been really what's in that letter? That's really horrific.
Yeah.
Also, Like, what are you telling Ben if
and also just die? The fact that he wrote Benjamin, like, I don't know, that's but that feels kid. Really soft to me.
That's the grown-up name. He's not calling him a little Benny boy or anything. It's, you are Benjamin. My Benjamin. Very sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, no, why would you say that?
Yeah. Yeah, I had some feelings about that. And that's who I wanted to bless this week.
Yeah.
I want to bless and keep my eye on Bobby. I feel like this was really rough for him, but like, no matter how rough things get, he's just always there for his boys.
Truly.
And I love him for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and bless Death because I think he does a terrific job of teaching Dean a lesson, and nobody really gets to do that as well as Death does, in my opinion. Maybe Sam and Bobby, but and Cass, but Death really like lets him think that he's lost, but shows that he really won based on the growth that he experienced and seeing the natural order of things unfold in the flesh and mopping up the mess that he made is a powerful, powerful tool that he gives to Dean.
For my blessing this week, I'm going to go with Sam because he just got a very, very tortured soul, as Cass says, shoved down his gullet.
Yeah. You know, it maybe was necessary because Sam without a soul was a very much a liability, but like, man, it sucked.
Yeah. And I just, even though I know what's going to happen, I remember the feeling of being like, what the hell is going to happen? And it was a torturous feeling. So blessings to Sam.
Yeah.
Thank you all for that absolutely wonderful conversation about a fabulous episode. But that's all we have for today. Yeah, thanks for the chat.
That was delightful.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick reminder, this is actually going to be the last, when this episode comes out, this is going to be the last week for folks to fill out the survey that we have over on our website. So be sure to go fill that out before our next episode drops so that we can get your feedback and, you know, try to incorporate all that so that we can be a better show for y'all.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the show. If you are here today, if you've been here the whole time, or if you're new, we're really, really grateful for all of you.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you are subscribed to Saving People Queering Things wherever you listen to podcasts and share our show with your friends. You can also join our free Discord server, find links to our socials, and catch up on the latest season mixtapes all at our website, queeringthingspodcast.com.
And also out now, we have Queering People Saving Throws. This is a podcast that features our main crew along with KJ from Supernatural Opinions, and we get to take a dive each episode into a queer D&D adventure, releasing every other Friday right here on our feet.
Be sure to ride along with us next week as we explore season 6, episode 12, Like a Virgin, through the theme of attention.
Thank you all for coming along for the ride, and we wish you a peaceful road until we meet again.